Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody. It's Allison Katzkowski. Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. I am your host. Super excited to always be here with you. Today is part two of my special unique mini-series, The Other 23 Hours. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes in my own training. And I want to do this for a couple reasons. One is that I'm very transparent. I don't want to hide anything. I don't consider myself a gatekeeper at all. I get lots of questions almost on the daily about what do I do that works? What do I suggest? And all of that. And that's, you know, because I've spent my career in the health and fitness industry. But the other reason is that I feel like a lot of the message around fitness and strength training and, you know, being fit is changing, and it's changing for the better. And I've got lots of thoughts around this, and I'll probably be recording another episode about this in the near future, because a lot of the trends are really changing. A lot of just the intense, it's not that the intense workouts don't work anymore, because they do. But I feel like because there's so many options available now for people, boutique fitness is hotter than it's ever been. There's all kinds of new formats and programs to follow. And a lot of that is, you know, from a consumer standpoint, can be very confusing. We live in an information age. There is, you know, you can find thousands of different options online. And it leads to a lot of people into starting something they can't continue with. And so what we see a lot of, and this has never changed over my whole career, is a lot of people, most of the public are yo-yo exercisers, right? They stop and then they start again and they stop again, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of that is because, you know, we've sort of gotten away from this idea that the basics and the fundamentals are what we should be doing all the time. And for a lot of people, it can almost feel boring. And so there's this need to be entertained constantly. And a lot of that is the world we live in today with social media and the virtual space and all the options available on YouTube. It's like there's this consensus that you should be entertained and enjoy your workout at the same time. And look, I'm just going to be straight up. I'm a fitness professional. I don't always love my workout. Okay. There are plenty of days when I don't even want to do it, if I'm being perfectly honest. But it is so much a part of who I am, and I believe in what it does for me, and not just my body and my physical health, but my mentality and my mental health too, that for me, it's just a non-negotiable, and I've disciplined myself to do it even on days that I don't want to. And I think this is a barrier that a lot of people really struggle with. You know, they want it to be fun. They want to look forward to it. They always want to be motivated. And a lot of people, quite frankly, are not that way at all. And so a lot of times when I was working in fitness full time, what I would hear from people is, well, I'm just not motivated right now. I just don't want to. I don't feel like it. And, you know, that's the kind of language that and mentality that will keep you exactly where you are. And if you have been struggling to reach a new fitness goal, if you have something in mind, but for whatever reason, you just haven't been able to achieve it, or perhaps you're at a plateau right now with your own training and you feel like you're kind of hitting a wall or a ceiling, then I hope this episode will really be helpful, because there were a lot of, I've really had to change a lot of my own thinking around training in general, especially since I turned 50, and I'll be 58 in May of this year. And I'm proud of that. I feel like my 50s have been fabulous. You know, I feel a lot better than I have in years. And it's not that I felt bad before. But I think as a group fitness instructor and longtime fitness professional, we normalize this idea of quote unquote killing ourselves in a workout. And we normalize the feeling of being sore and achy and having our joints bother us from time to time, that we kind of gloss over it and we think, well, this just goes with the territory. And it's one of the reasons that I don't teach a lot of group fitness anymore, because I don't feel like at my age and stage of life with what I'm doing, not just with my business, but with my life in general and with the, you know, plans my husband and I have for retirement at some point and, you know, traveling more and, you know, literally doing more things, that it's really not in my best interest, I don't think, to, you know, behave and act like I'm still in my 20s when it comes to, you know, fitness and working out and activity and all of that. But that being said, I'm not going to sit in my rocking chair on my front porch, if you will, and just say I'm too old for that. I don't believe in that either. I mean, my dad is 86 and still runs every week, works out 2 or 3 days a week at the Y. He and my mom see a trainer a couple days a week. They work on strength training and balance and all the things. And they're both incredibly healthy, even at their age and stage of life. In retirement, they're not taking medications. And I credit a lot of their lifestyle for that. And so what I want you to hear today is hopefully some helpful tips and perspective shifts, maybe if you've been struggling with how you view something that can work for you long term. And I want you to take what I'm saying from my perspective too. As a longtime health and fitness veteran, I was a competitive athlete growing up. I competed in bodybuilding and fitness shows for years before I went into working in the industry full time and being a business owner for the last 26 years. And, you know, ebbing and flowing and making changes and how I serve my clients and the kind of people that I help. I just think that, you know, these are all things that we have to think about for ourselves. And so, you know, I don't want you to think that you have to walk away from this episode and think, you know, well, that's not really going to work for me, so I'm just not going to think about that. I think you can still think about what I'm going to share with you in a way that works for you. At least that's my hope. So last week, if you haven't listened to last week, I would really recommend that you do that. I broke down a lot of what I think are the big myths around metabolism and sort of like identified what I think are the four biggest drivers of metabolism. And so it's just a really good foundational episode. I mean, I'm a teacher at heart, and my tendency is just to keep teaching and making sure that you understand. But I'm also a science nerd, and I love the way the, you know, science kind of works. And I love understanding the how and the why behind why our bodies do things and how we heal and how we get stronger and how we get better. And I always want to know that I understand the process. But none of that does any good unless you can really apply it in a way that works for you. And that's what I want to talk about today. So today's episode is not so much about the other 23 hours, because we're going to get into that next week in part 3, where I'm going to talk more about why the other 23 hours are probably the most critical part of your day. And we're going to talk about all of those habits where we all get stuck and we all hit roadblocks. And what I'm hoping is that you can take information from all three of these episodes and hopefully apply it to your own life and maybe give yourself a new perspective on how you look at fitness and activity with respect to your own metabolism. So today's episode, though, is going to be about the 1 hour of your day that should become your anchor. Okay, so today's episode is not about the other 23 hours, it's about that 1 hour. So today's episode is really the foundation, it's the non-negotiable. And so what I want to talk about is what we do in that hour. And look, maybe it's not an hour for you. For me, it's probably 40 to 45 minutes at the most that I spend on strength training. And I'm being perfectly honest when I say that. Most people think as a fitness professional that I work out all day long, that I spend hours working out, that all I do is lift weights all day long. And I really wish that that were the case, but it's not. And even when I owned my brick and mortar studios and I was working out with clients, I wasn't working out with them. You know, I was handing them weights. I was checking their form. I was demonstrating exercises, granted, but that is not the same thing as literally doing the workout with them. Now, when I was teaching a lot of group fitness, I was absolutely getting a lot of working out in. But even as a group fitness instructor, you're still not doing the workout with them. You're still spending a lot of time demonstrating technique and form and coaching and watching your class. It's a far cry from actually going and doing a workout yourself, which is why a lot of group fitness instructors go to classes, because they know they don't want to have to think. You know, they want to just be able to, you know, do the workout and think about what's going to work for them, okay? So most people want lifestyle habits to go with you. You know, they want to make sure that they can live well, move well, stay injury-free, feel good, feel energetic, all of those things. But at the end of the day, a lot of people just don't want to do the hard training, and that's a fact. And I know that that sounds really abrasive and rough, but it's just how it works. Most people never get the results that they want from their fitness program because it's not that they don't know what to do. And some people don't know what to do, honestly. But I really think what it comes down to is a lot of people just are not spending their time in the right way, in a way that's really productive for them. So the workout should never be the punishment. I want you to hear me out when I say that. The workout should be your anchor. It should be a habit that is ingrained and is something that just becomes part of who you are and your identity. And, you know, before I get into the changes that I've made, I just want to give you a little bit of behind the scenes of how I used to train. You know, when I was competing, it wasn't unusual for me to spend 2 and 3 hours on a workout. And, you know, it's kind of funny to even that I'm even saying that out loud because, you know, I worked a full-time job. This is when I worked for a chain of health clubs. It was my first big job when I finished grad school. My intention was to go into corporate fitness. You know, my initial plan was to go to PT school, and the universe directed me in another direction, which I've never regretted for 1 minute. I believe I was supposed to be in the industry doing what I'm doing now, honestly. But I really, you know, when I was competing, it was a different ballgame. I was not married. I did not have really any other responsibilities except myself and my work. I lived by myself. And I could come and go basically as I wanted to. And so I would train first thing in the morning. I would do, you know, heavy, intense strength training. And when you're bodybuilding and training for fitness, you're training a lot for volume and you're training a lot for energy and stamina. So it's a very different format than simply just training to get stronger. There's, you know, you're lifting a lot of weights and a lot of sets and a lot of volume. We do that to do what we call hypertrophy, which is muscle growth. And on top of that, I was, you know, very meticulous with my eating, you know, eating my 5 and 6 meals a day, you know, spending an inordinate amount of time on meal prep. And my life revolved around the clock. And then in the evening, you know, at the end of my shift, when I worked for the chain of health clubs, I would either do my 45 minutes to an hour of cardio and sometimes even a second workout, but maybe lighter weight if I was pretty close to a show or if I was simply just trying to get what I would call the junk workouts in, which were the stamina workouts to keep my energy up. And it sounds counterproductive. You're probably sitting there thinking, well, you know, if you're not eating a lot and you're training a lot, aren't you tired all the time? And the reality is you are tired. But, you know, but I also know that, you know, when you are active, you know, activity actually gives you energy, right? It gives you energy not because it produces more energy, but it helps your body become more efficient and economical. And the example that I want to offer here is the example of a SUV like an Expedition or a Ford Explorer. You know, and you think it has a bigger gas tank, it uses more gas, it's going to cost more to fill up, you're not going to get as good mileage on the road. And then you compare that to an energy efficient car like a gas economy car like a Prius or a hybrid or a car that, you know, is an economy size car where you're going to get a lot more mileage for the same tank of gas. Now, granted, it's probably going to be a smaller tank, but at the end of the day, it's going to cost you less and your car is going to run a lot longer on that tank of gas. And the goal with any training routine is that you want your body to become more efficient with how it uses energy. So the goal is not necessarily to get more energy. A workout doesn't do that. A workout, it definitely makes you feel better, but what people usually notice, at least right away, within the first 2 or 3 weeks of a training program, is that they say they feel more energetic. And they feel more energetic because your body is actually using less energy to do the same things. And that makes it more energy available to you to do the things that you want to do. So if you feel more energetic, you're absolutely noticing that, and that is absolutely correct. But I just want to point out what's actually going on. And so when I was competing, I was doing a lot of these smaller type workouts to keep my energy up because I knew that my body would reset and that I would feel much better to handle the demands of my day. Now, as a general manager of a couple of health clubs, you know, my work plate was pretty full. You know, I was managing a pretty big team. My owners had revenue projections that they wanted to make for the clubs, and it was my responsibility to make sure that our team was doing that. But on top of that, I was also handling a lot of the operations, you know, the day-to-day activities and, you know, dealing with members and customer service issues and all of that. So it was a lot. It was a lot going on. And so if I'm being perfectly honest, it might not seem like it makes a lot of sense to compete when you have that going on, but it was actually an outlet for me. It really gave me an opportunity to do something for myself that was positive, that I could work on my own personal growth and development at the same time. And I think everyone needs balance. Everyone needs goals to work for. And for me, that's what that became. It became kind of a haven for that. But as I've gotten older and I got away from that and started working for myself, my focus shifted. Then when I got married and John and I, you know, have bought a couple of houses, we do a lot of traveling. We don't have children, but we have animals and we're very active with my nieces and nephews and extended family. And so we live a very full life is what I'm trying to say. And so my focus has shifted. You know, I'm not so much into the competition lifestyle anymore. Now I've done a couple of half Ironmans. I've done some shorter races. So I'm well aware of, you know, the mindset and what it takes to actually work that in. And to be honest with you, I work much better when I have structure in my schedule. I think most people do. And I think having goals to work for where you can work in something that you're working for, whether it's a strength training program or you're training to run a race or a marathon or something else, you know, I think you have to think about it as something that you're doing for yourself. And so it requires you to be very disciplined and structured because you're not going to reach the goal that you want by just kind of winging it and just hoping that it works out. And the majority of people, unfortunately, with a workout program do that. They just wing it. You know, they say, well, I'll go, if I can't go to the gym today, I'll go tomorrow. And if, you know, if something comes up, I'll go on the weekend. And it's like, hoping that it works out really isn't a strategy. So structure for me is a non-negotiable. And so as I've gotten older and I got more into teaching more group fitness, which I absolutely loved and enjoyed, I loved interacting with people and anything around fitness and activity is always going to be a win for me. But teaching a lot of group fitness is exhausting. It's very hard on your body. And after a while, you notice that your body just doesn't respond as well to, you know, the same types of workouts. You know, as we get older, our bodies handle stress differently. Recovery becomes a lot more important. It's not that it's not important when you're younger, but, you know, our bodies change as we get older. You know, the aging process is just a reality. And as a female, you know, going through menopause and getting older, you know, I was noticing a lot more changes in my own body, you know, that I was not holding on, I was staying sore for longer periods of time, and it would take me longer to recover from a very intense week if I was subbing out a lot of classes or if I was covering for other instructors or my own instructors when they were out. You know, it's just, it's a very different ballgame when you're having to do that on top of, you know, your regular routine. And so when the pandemic hit, I, you know, obviously when the gyms closed, we obviously had to go all virtual. And you know, it was a big reality check for me. I had to really start thinking about what I was going to do different. And I was actually having these thoughts before the pandemic hit, if I'm being perfectly honest. In 2017, I downsized from my successful brick and mortar studio into a smaller studio. And I did that with the intention that I wanted to have a more normal routine and a more normal lifestyle. And so I had, you know, intentions of expanding online. We were already going online here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. I was starting my podcast, which now we're in August, we're going to be on the air 7 years. Super excited about that. And, you know, we started doing retreats. There were just a lot of things that I wanted to add that I didn't have the bandwidth to do with my business model being where it was. And so I sort of took it upon myself in 2018, I turned 50, and I just started noticing that, you know, this isn't the same ballgame anymore. You know, that this what worked for me 20 years ago isn't going to work for me now. And I realized that I needed to really get serious about my lifestyle. And that might sound kind of, you know, hypocritical coming from a fitness professional, but, you know, I wasn't taking as good a care of myself. I was having a few cocktails on the weekends, some weekends, probably more than what I should have been. I wasn't paying as much attention to my eating. I was a little bit slack on that, if I'm being honest. I was, and of course, the daily activity was going out the window because I was sitting and being more sedentary. And so you get the combined effect of all of that. And when I turned 50, I had a reality check. I was like, I'm going to make some changes.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout,
or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
And it was a good thing that I was making changes in my business, because it was allowing me more open space in my calendar to get back to that disciplined, structured routine that I really had not been the best participant in doing over the last few years before that. And so I sort of made it a point, you know what? I'm going to start doing something different. And last week's episode, I shared how I got started at Metabolic, how I found, you know, a friend of mine had been going, really liked it. And another friend of mine had taken some group classes there. And a client of mine had actually tried it and said that she enjoyed it. She traveled quite a bit for her business at the time and didn't really stick with it. But she said, you know, you might want to try it. It's kind of right up your alley. So, you know, I found the studio in Asheville where, you know, my husband was at a meeting, and I sort of tagged along, and I got hooked, and I decided to do it. And I stayed with it through the pandemic while we were all virtual. And when we, you know, the world started to open back up again and we all started getting back together in person, you know, I made a commitment and I joined as a member. And I have to be perfectly honest, I hadn't really joined as a paying member at a gym in years. As a group fitness instructor for many years, I would always get a membership comped. Having been a studio owner, I was always doing my own workouts on my own time. There was really no need for me to pay to go somewhere. And so, you know what? It's funny. A lot of fitness professionals actually pay to go to other gyms so that they can kind of have some time to themselves. But I wasn't like that. I was always one. I'm going to make do with what I've got. But I really liked what we were doing at Metabolic. I liked the format. I liked the focus on functional training, the 8 functional moves that we do every day. Those moves, just to review, are squat, lunge, push, pull, carry, twist, hinge, and walk. Those are 8 moves. Everything that we do at Metabolic is around those 8 moves. And what I love about the program is that it is based in strength. It's based in real science. It's not some influencer's idea of how to have 6-pack abs and a bikini body. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't really care about that at this point in my life. As we get older, I think our goals change. And so for me, what I realized I was missing, and the point that I'm trying to make here, what I realized I was missing as I got older was I missed the structure. I missed having that regular time slot for myself. I missed the intense training in a way that actually would work for me at my age and stage of life. And to be honest, I wanted to be around a community. I wanted to be around people, because a group fitness class is accountability. I mean, there is science to support that. There are numerous studies done in group fitness to show that group fitness works. The concept works. It works because people go so much further in a group than they do on their own. Now, we had a lot of really successful groups at my studio too, and that was really part of my accountability. There were lots of classes that I would jump in and take as a participant because I wanted to support my instructors. I wanted to stay connected to our members. And I, you know, it was kind of, we were all doing it as a team. But, you know, eventually, as, you know, my business model continued to change, we went away from that model. And I just decided it was time for me to retire as an instructor. Now, I still teach a group of seniors one morning a week. It's at a large Baptist church here in Raleigh, Trinity Baptist, for any of you listening that are local. It's a great, great, great group of people. These, I wouldn't really call these people seniors. They're very active older adults. And we do strength, we do balance, we do, you know, mobility drills. We have a lot of fun. But I teach them one morning a week, and that is how I still stay connected to group fitness. Everything else I'm pretty much retired from. I really enjoy just being a participant at this point, if I'm being honest. I'm thinking maybe at some point I may want to teach a little bit more, but right now I'm pretty content with what I'm doing, and I love where we are and what we're building. And I just feel like this is where the universe needs me to be. And so having said that, I knew I needed to seek something different out. And so having been a member now, it's, you know, 2026, it's been probably, it was 6 years in February that I have been a member of Metabolic. So I'm super, super proud and excited of that. I'm almost at 1,000 workouts in, which, I just love the whole system. And so what I've noticed mostly in myself is, you know, my energy is better. My strength is definitely better. I'm stronger than I've ever been in my life at 57. I'm super proud of that. You know, my body composition is still not where I want it to be. And if you're listening and you're a former competitor, that's always a bit of a delicate balance. But I'm, you know, proud to say I'm a very healthy weight. I usually don't pay a lot of attention to, you know, the insurance tables and doctor's offices, because if you went by just the sheer numbers, when you have a lot of muscle on board, you obviously weigh more than that. I don't always go by that. I go by how my clothes fit, by how I feel, by how much stronger I feel, and how do I notice those results in other areas of my life. And so what I really notice are my joints feel good. When I do get hurt, I recover very quickly. I'm able to continue to enjoy the things that I want to do because my energy is good. And a lot of that I credit to my training. And so, you know, what I'm going to talk about next week is how all this shows up in the other 23 hours. But I want to talk for a minute about what the research is saying now about this kind of training, about the intense focus on the functional moves and keeping your moves basic, but at the same time, compound. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to think about the moves that you do all day long, the getting in and out of cars, you know, picking up grocery bags, going up and down stairs, picking up kids, picking up animals, doing chores, doing yard work, you know, all of that. And when you think about the moves that you do with all of the basic everyday moves that we all do in living life, we're all doing those 8 moves already, right? And so what I really appreciate about this kind of training is that it's a focus on the basics with intensity. And strength training has a direct impact on your metabolic rate. I talked about that a little bit last week. Muscle is very metabolically, quote unquote, expensive tissue. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it burns calories all day long. Even when you're sleeping, even when you're sitting down, even when you're vegging out on the couch, you know, binge watching something. When you lift weights, you're giving your body a big insurance policy, right? You're giving yourself a way to continually burn calories even when you're not moving, okay? And as we get older, our metabolic rate drops, it slows, right? It doesn't quit and it doesn't break. Contrary to what you might think or what you've read or heard from somebody. What happens as you get older is our metabolic rate slows down because we're typically, you know, generally speaking, less active, okay? But there's a concept called EPOC, exercise post-oxygen consumption, EPOC. And what this means is that your body keeps burning calories hours after intense training in a way that it simply doesn't do when you're just walking or biking or even running, okay? So there's a lot of benefit to leveraging really intense strength training in a routine to net you that extra caloric benefit, right? So EPOC becomes your friend. EPOC becomes something that you want to look at keeping going. Think of it like an engine. You want the engine to keep revving, even if you're not using it as much, right? You want it to be able to still be powerful and still be able to get you the results that you want, okay? And when we look at how our hormones respond to that intensity, this is probably what happens a lot in midlife, right? Especially with women. You know, as our estrogen drops and our progesterone drops, when we go into menopause and we're, you know, your hormones are a little bit at war with each other because they're trying to figure out that new balance, okay? And there's lots of research out there to support this. I would really, there's lots of people I would recommend that you go follow if you want to learn more about the nitty gritty of that. Dr. Jay Tita, one of my mentors, Dr. Stacy Sims is another good one. Sam Miller, who is a friend of mine and a metabolism expert, talks a lot about this on his podcast. These are all really good resources that I would really recommend that you check out if you want to learn more about the hormonal response to strength training and how it helps with keeping your metabolic rate where you want it to be. But hormonal response to intensity can get complicated. And what we hear a lot in the world today, especially if you're in that quote unquote midlife section of your life, is cortisol. And when we hear the word cortisol, what we probably think of is cortisol is bad. Cortisol is not our friend. When cortisol is high, we can't lose weight, we can't sleep, and all of that. Well, first of all, I just want to say none of that is true. Cortisol is a good thing. There's a lot of good things that cortisol does for us. So taking it away doesn't mean that there won't be problems. What we want to try to do is manage our cortisol better. That is really the goal, okay? And when you learn to do that, when you manage your cortisol, then the other hormones like growth hormone and insulin, which our body produces when we eat, and when, you know, insulin sensitivity becomes an issue in people who are overweight, you know, is that their body doesn't respond as well to that. So you've got all of these data points trying to figure out a way to work together. And then you add intense exercise on top of that, and it's like you've thrown gas on a fire, okay? And so the goal with intense strength training, okay, is to do it in a way that the hormones actually work together, that you can leverage cortisol to your advantage, and that you can leverage growth hormone to your advantage, and that you can get insulin working to help you rather than work against you, okay? That's always the goal. But all of the data now on intense strength training, well, not all of the data, but a lot of the data, at least a lot of what I've read, suggests that muscle mass and longevity, it's not always about just looking good. Now, we all want to look good, okay? I'm not going to lie. I want to look good. That's not just it. But the goal is about aging well. And so when we work on keeping our muscle mass intact, when we work on keeping our energy at a level to where we feel good and that we're able to operate at the level that we want, then it actually helps us age better. And what I love about the metabolic program is that their motto is aging athletically, okay? And I love that because a lot of what we do is based in science. It's based on these eight functional moves. It's weight training using those eight functional moves. And all of it is to help you age better, okay? And so moderate, comfortable exercise, on the other hand, doesn't move the needle in the same way. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't be doing any of that, okay? You should be focusing on walking and activities that are easier for you. I'm not saying you need to be working out intensely all the time. And I'm going to talk in a minute about what I think is the right balance, but for people out there that are just walking, that are biking, that are maybe doing a little bit of jogging, a little bit of swimming, that's all great. That's all well and good. But that alone is not going to get you the result that you want, especially as you get older. Okay. And that's really the point that I'm trying to make. So if you're one of these people, well, I'm just walking and that's good enough. I really want to challenge that. I really want you to start thinking that maybe that's not going to be sufficient for you as you get older. Okay. So, you know, research supports this, that intense strength training when done right actually moves the needle further in a shorter amount of time and gets you a result when you're not moving, right? So I want you to hear me when I say that. So it's not always about doing just enough. It's about doing enough intensely that will get you the result that you want. So I want to call out another myth that I hear and a lot of what I probably hear in pushback to, you know, workouts. And that is people who say they're too busy. Well, I'm too busy. I just don't have the time to do that. These are people that are probably walking, doing easy casual exercise, and they're kind of telling themselves that they're doing enough to get by. But at the end of the day, if you haven't broken a sweat in months, you're not doing enough. And that might not be what you want to hear, but that's just the truth. Most people who've convinced themselves that moderate, comfortable exercise is enough are just lying to themselves, you know? And maybe you're just not ready to say, I need to be doing more, But the reality is what we avoid is probably what we need the most. And the difference between activity and training, it matters. And when you talk about activity and training, you're not talking about the same thing. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the activity piece next week in part three. And you need both, but you need to think about both strategically, okay? Training intensely is a skill. It's something that you want to learn how to do and rinse and repeat in as easy a manner as you possibly can. And it takes a lot of practice. It takes discipline. It takes focusing on the basics and repeating them over and over again to the point that you feel like bored to tears. And most people quit before they really get good at it. That's really the truth. And so what I want to talk about for a minute before I get into, you know, just some tips for you to think about with managing this hour, if you want to make the hour out of the day your anchor, is this. The key here is balance. The key is balancing the intensity with comfortable, moderate activity that actually works. And you want to find a place in your calendar and in your life where you can do both and you can keep doing both consistently. What I do right now that works for me is I train 4 to 5 days a week intensely, no more than 45 minutes. Okay. That's a far cry from what I used to do when I was spending 2-3 hours a day training, when I was in competition mode. And even when I was teaching group fitness, there were some days if I was teaching 2, maybe 3 classes, if I had to fill in for somebody, that's 3 hours of activity that I was getting. Intense activity in some cases. And so that might all sound good, like, wow, you're getting plenty of activity. It's not always good because it didn't move me in the direction that I wanted to go. So now what I do is I do the 4 to 5 sessions a week, intense strength training. We're talking heavy weights. We're talking very functional moves, some squats, some lunges, some upper body work. At Metabolic, we have 5 stations for every workout. There's usually 3 to 4 weighted moves. And there's a boxing station, which I've actually come to really enjoy. And some days, depending on our workout focus, we'll have a couple of heart rate stations too, like biking or rowing or a ski machine. And if it's a momentum day, which is about stamina and endurance, we usually will jump ropes, we'll do a hopscotch drill. There's a couple of stations where we might do some jumping. Now, there's always modifications. And at 57, I can't do a lot of what I used to do. So I do find myself modifying some, but what I love about it is that I can push my pace at a pace that isn't just comfortable for me, intense for me, but I can do it at a lower pace than maybe a 25-year-old that's at the station right next to me, right? So for me, if I push myself 100%, that's going to look different than somebody a lot younger than me. But having said that, there are people in their 60s and early 70s that do this very same program, and they modify too. So the point is you want to find the balance between the intensity and the daily activity because you need both. So for me, it's 4 to 5 days a week of the intense moves. I'm working very hard on getting the activity in. You know, the reality check that I have with myself when I turned 50 was something's got to change. And I've slowly progressed in a way that now this is a pattern that works. To where when I go out of town, I maintain it. I'm getting much better about getting more activity in, but I'm not spending hours a day doing it, is what I want you to understand. I'm probably spending, if it's a workout day and I get my 30 to 45 minutes in early in the morning, I'm an early riser. So usually by 6:30 in the morning, I'm getting a workout in. I usually go to the 6:30 class if I'm going to do that. And then throughout the day, I'm working in my 10 and 15 minutes of activity so that I net a pretty solid 45 minutes to an hour of extra activity, but that's on top of the workout activity. But I'm not doing it all at once because I can't do it that way and stick with it. So I'm working in the activity in a way that works for my calendar. Okay. So that's what I want you to understand is that what I do maybe wouldn't work for you. But what I want you to understand is you want to work the intense activity in with the moderate activity. Okay, so I'm going to give you a few tips, maybe things to think about with your own training. And then I want to leave you with a few thoughts and what to expect in next week when we're going to release part 3. And I've really enjoyed mapping out this series because I really want you to understand what I'm doing and what works for me, and that this has been a journey for me too, just like I know it's probably a journey for you. Here are some things I want you to always remember, okay, about the 1 hour of your day that should become your anchor. always focus on consistency over perfection, okay? Showing up is half the battle. In fact, I'll argue it's more than half the battle. There are going to be plenty of days that you don't want to do it anyway, okay? Focus on intensity with intention. Don't just go through the motions. If you get into a workout and you're like, you know what, all I got is 15 minutes, that's all I got, then make it work. Instead of doing 10 exercises, do 5 exercises. Instead of doing 5, do 3. Something's always better than nothing, but focus on intensity over intention. Structured programming matters. This matters so much more than just winging it and saying, I'll get something in tomorrow. Well, I'm going to teach a class on Friday. That'll be my workout. That might work sometimes, but it doesn't work in the long run. Okay. And one of the things that Metabolic is really good at, and one of the things I love about it, is just that it is structured programming that works. It is, I can go in every day and I know when I leave, I've had a full balanced workout. And that is really what matters. The structure is literally done for you. And if you can't get, if you don't have a Metabolic in your area, reach out to me. If you have some questions about this, I'm happy to answer some questions. I'm happy to point you in the right direction. You can check out Metabolic. You can find that link in the show notes. You can check out what the program is all about. Their website is fantastic. It was actually founded by 2 professional hockey players. And so a lot of the workouts are hockey names. And so what makes it really fun is that when you, if, you know, even if you're not a hockey fan, if you watch any hockey on TV, look at how hockey players move. Look at the lateral quickness they have to have. Look at the strength they have to have. Can you imagine how strong their lower bodies have to be to speed skate powerfully the way that they do? And this is really what the program's built on. So even if you're thinking, you know what, I'm not an athlete, I don't know that this would work for me, I would challenge you. I think it would work for you. It would work for you because it focuses on a lot of the basics. And the community is super fun too, because you sort of feel like you're all in it together. And there's really no judgment. This isn't, you know, there's no mirrors. There's nobody checking themselves out in the mirror to make sure that they look good. There's none of that. It's very real and very raw and very down to earth, which is one of the reasons why I really enjoy it. So if you can't get to a Metabolic type studio where you live, or that's not an option for you, what I do want to mention is that this is why I created the 360 Club, because I believe that there's more than one way to do things. And I feel like the way that we teach workouts and fitness is functional, and we make it easy and simple for you. You can check out the link in the show notes to the 360 Club when you join at the silver level. There are videos, there are resources that can help you map out what this looks like. If you join at the gold level, you can get a 30-minute session with me every month where I can help you work this out. And you can look at like an accountability, like we can chat once a month. That's like having a coach in your pocket, okay? But My point with this is that we want to make training short, efficient, and intentional. No fluff, no BS, no filler. Okay. I want you to get the work done in the least amount of time possible, because I know your time always matters. So I want to talk for a minute about what we're going to be going into next week. The workout, so far, this is where we've been. The workout earns its place, right? Today was about that. But now, in next week, we're going to talk about the other 23 hours. We're going to talk about why all this hard work can be completely undermined if you're not careful. So I don't want to freak you out or scare you. I'm not going to give you any magic bullet, but what you do the other 23 hours really does matter, okay? And so I want you to challenge yourself. Now that we're at the close of the episode, here's what I'm going to leave you with. Protect this 1 hour of your day like it's a meeting that you're not willing to reschedule or cancel. I want you to think of it like this is an appointment you would not move under any circumstance, okay? This is an hour with yourself. This is an hour with your future self. This is an hour to keeping you strong, fit, healthy, and moving the way you want to move for a lifetime, because that is really what it's all about. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's really been fun for me to share all this with you. Please check out the show notes and the comments. If you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me. We would love it if you would give us some feedback. You can, of course, reach out to me on any of my socials, or you can write to me directly, connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button and write to me. I always love hearing from you. And if you're feeling so inclined, please feel free to leave us a review. This is how so many people find us and why we're ranked in the top 3% globally. And we're super proud of that. And I know that I have all of you to thank for that. So I don't want a week to go by where I don't tell you how grateful I am for all of your support. And tune in for next week for part three of this unique three-part miniseries, The Other 23 Hours. And I will see you then. I hope you guys have a great week. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.